On today's Triangle Sports Take, we're back for the first time in a little while. Going to talk just a little bit of college baseball. We're actually recording this on Sunday night of the NCAA Tournament Regional Weekend. And we're also, of course, going to talk a little bit about the Carolina Hurricanes, their playoff run, how we think they did, and kind of looking forward to the future with them some. So I've got Cody Mitchell joining me by phone tonight. I'll go ahead and give us just a quick rundown on the NCAA Tournament Regional for college baseball for Carolina State, Duke, a few other local teams. Actually, first going to start with a couple of our alma maters. Campbell, obviously I went to Campbell, Mitchell went to UNC Charlotte. Both schools did pretty good this weekend in the regionals and had really good seasons overall. Campbell earlier today actually beat NC State in the regional and knocked them out, so I was pretty excited about that. They did end up falling to South Carolina just a few minutes ago, actually, so their season came to an end. But a really good season for Campbell. It felt good to watch them beat State earlier today. And then UNC Charlotte, they don't usually have a ton of success in baseball, but it seems like the last couple of years they've gotten pretty good. And they actually knocked off Clemson and eliminated them. Clemson's number four in the nation, so that was a big-time win, probably the biggest win Charlotte's ever had in their program's history. But I think they did just fall to Tennessee, so they got knocked out just a few minutes ago. But really good showing by them. As far as the local teams go, Carolina lost the first game in their regional to Iowa, then they beat Wright State in the second game, but then actually just lost to Iowa earlier today to get eliminated. It was in a 13-inning marathon kind of game, so the Tar Heels got knocked out. NC State, I did just mention them a minute ago, but they, in the first game in their regional, they beat Campbell. Their second game the other night, they lost to South Carolina. And then their third game, as I just said, they lost to Campbell and got eliminated. So State season also came to an end earlier today. And then Duke won the first game in their regional. I'm trying to remember who it was against. I can't think of it at the moment. And then they won their second game in their regional the other night against Ryder. And then they actually just lost to Coastal Carolina a few minutes ago. But at the time we're recording this, Duke has not been eliminated. That was their first loss, so they will have a chance to win their regional and go to the Supers if they can beat Coastal Carolina tomorrow. By the time this episode's out, that game may very well be over, but at the moment, Duke is still in it. And a few other local teams, ECU just got eliminated by Virginia, and then Wake Forest, do have to give them a shout-out because they're actually the number one team in the nation, and they've been really, really good all year. They just won their regionals. They're moving on to the super regionals. They're kind of usually the ACC team in North Carolina that everyone kind of forgets about, but they've been really impressive this year. I think they've got a good chance to go to Omaha, maybe even win a national title. So that'll be pretty crazy if they can do that. But that's just kind of a quick college baseball recap. I was watching a lot of baseball this weekend, so I don't really have too much else going on. I don't know if there's anything more you guys want to add to that or if we want to jump to the Hurricanes.
You know, nice to hear that the Niners are making a little bit of progress in baseball. But, yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, not a whole lot for me. Wouldn't mind having Tommy Tanks back at State. He's had an insane year over at LSU and, you know, maybe a little bit of our fortunes would be different having him around, but that's just kind of the way it goes. So, into kind of a disappointing year for State.
Yeah, that's a good point, bringing up Tommy Tank, since he played for them last year but transferred, because that reminds me, I do think things might have gone differently for Carolina if they had Vance Honeycutt in their regional this weekend. He's been the best player for Carolina the last couple of years, but unfortunately he was injured, so you never know, things might have gone a little bit differently if he was healthy, but injuries happen, so there's nothing you can do about that. Do we want to go ahead and jump into talking about the Hurricanes, I guess? They won the first two rounds. It's been a few weeks now, so I'm trying to remember. I know they beat New Jersey in the second round. The first round before that, they beat the Islanders. We're looking pretty good, and then unfortunately, got swept by the Florida Panthers. Didn't really see that one coming. I wasn't like super shocked we lost. I was just more shocked the way that we lost by getting swept. I guess the first thing I want to ask about is, game one of that series was the game that went to, I think it was three or four overtimes. I can't even remember now. And the Canes ended up losing. So, Cody, I wanted to ask you, how much do you think that series would have gone differently if the Canes could have won that game one? Because it kind of felt like a backbreaker playing that long of a game and then coming away with an L. I don't know if you think things would have gone any differently if we could have won that one.
I don't know if things would have gone differently. I mean, obviously, it wouldn't have been a sweep if we'd have won game one. But, you know, it did kind of set the stage for just that whole series. It was really grind them out. I mean, you know, I look back in years past and I fault Carolina's physicality or their seeming drive to win occasionally and in the playoffs. And this year, watching the Florida series, I mean, the whole team had a crazy, crazy amount of drive. I mean, I don't think there was a single game we were outworked, out-hit, outshot. You know, anything. I mean, we played good hockey, and at the end of the day, Sergei Bobrovsky stood on his head for four straight games, and we couldn't put enough pucks in the back of the net to win. But I mean, it's not for lack of doing anything right or doing anything wrong. It was just, I mean, honestly, just unlucky. I think we hit the post something like three or four times in one game. And a bunch of times in that series, you know, we lost the backbreaker game one, and I think four overtimes or three overtimes. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it is what it is. You definitely could say we missed the added physicality and scoring presence of Svech. Tabo didn't really look the same coming back from his broken hand. Obviously, we went out and got Paxaretti to score those playoff goals that we need, and he only played five or six games before he re-injured himself. I mean, it was definitely a painful way to go out, you know, being swept. And at the end of the day, you look back at the record books and it says Carolina swept by Florida, but I don't think it was... It wasn't for lack of effort or even poor play. It was just, you know, it's sports. Things happen. I definitely think Carolina is in a good spot. I think we have almost $25 million in cap space going into the offseason, which I would think has got to be the highest or close to the highest number of any of the playoff teams this year. We've got the space to go and get, you know, that scoring present. That top line score that's going to be able to put us over the edge. We've got a few free agents to re-sign, but I think we'll handle that. Goalie is going to be really interesting. We've got Pyotr Kochetkov in the wings. He played a good bit this year, played really well. But I don't know if he's ready to take the step to be our full-time goalie or not yet. I would be curious to see if we re-sign Freddie or Antti Raanta to kind of split time with Pyotr, or if we go get another goalie on the market. Freddie and Raanta are both unrestricted free agents. So definitely have some interesting moves to make as far as getting a proven scorer that can show up in the big games and find a way to get a goal, and then finding a goalie as well. Curious to see the health of Svech when he comes back from the torn ACL next year. If he's going to be hampered at all. He tore it kind of late this year, so I wouldn't expect to see him back till middle of the season next year. But yeah, I mean, it was a good season. I felt like we, to me at least, we outperformed expectations in the playoffs. You know, I think other than the one game in New Jersey, there was not a single game that we were dominated or outplayed, which really says something for the resiliency and the strength of the group. I would expect to see the Canes back in the same spot next year.
Okay. Yeah, and you made a good point with the injuries, too. They're definitely battling through some of those, and I agree. I think the one to Svech was probably the toughest one to try and overcome. And you did answer another question I was going to ask was, you know, how did you think this playoff run went? But it sounds like you said you think we outperformed, even though we did end up getting swept in the last one. I mean, we at least made it to the conference finals. So at least it was a pretty deep run, deeper than the last couple years. One thing I did want to kind of ask you, since you are a little more in tune with the Canes fan base than Mir Mitchell is, but so, you know, the Hurricanes, they had that like 10-year drought where they didn't make the playoffs at all. And then 2019, they broke that drought. And since then, they've been in the playoffs each year. Haven't made it to the finals any, but they're at least in the playoffs every year. How do you think the fan base is receiving like the performances from the team? Like, do you think the fan base is still overall pretty happy that we're in the playoffs every single year? Or do you think there's becoming a little bit of the fan base that's thinking like, all right, we're getting here every year, but we can't make it to the finals and win a Stanley Cup? Do you think the fans are still more, you know, happy with where we're at? Or do you think they're getting a little kind of unsettled and restless with the fact that we haven't made it to the finals any of these past 4 or 5 years?
I think there's a little bit of both. I think there's a lot of contentment with the fact that we've gone from really a hockey, not a non-factor, but not a hockey town to turning into kind of a hockey town. I mean, You know, a lot of people that didn't keep up with the Canes at all since 2019 are all of a sudden Caniacs and buy season tickets. And, you know, there are a lot of players that want to play for the Canes. It's the loudest house in the NHL. I mean, most of our games are sold out, even early season, weeknights. I mean, it's an exciting team. It's an exciting fan base. But I think there is a little bit of antsiness of, all right, now we're good. I mean, we're not even a good team anymore. We're a great team. When do we take that step and our great regular seasons translate into playoff success, and not playoff success of winning a series or winning two series, but of getting to the Stanley Cup Finals and winning, you know, a trophy. I think for me at least, the frustration this year was at the trade deadline. We knew we needed scoring because we had gone and gotten Paxaretti, and he was going to be out. We had cap space, and we didn't go get anybody. We got a couple role players. Pooji something, I can't pronounce his name. We got him, and he ended up really not playing at all. He's so far been a bust. We'll see if with coaching and an off season he turns into a good player. But I just felt like we didn't. It was almost like we didn't do what we needed to do at the deadline. I think that's where a little of the frustration comes in. There were available players that could have, I think, pushed the needle, and we didn't go get them. When we could have, and we had the space to do so. I think that's where some of the frustration comes in. And I mean, the Canes management so far has proved everyone wrong, you know, making the signings of Freddie and Antti Raanta. They've turned into one of the best goalie duos in the entire league. Signing Svech and Aho and Pesci and Slavin to long-term team-friendly deals instead of getting wrapped into these massive, massive contracts. Getting the Jordan Stahls of the world, the Jesper Fausts of the world. You know, Martinook was one of our leading scorers, and he had cleared waivers in like October. We had cut him, and then we re-signed him for peanuts, and he came back even more motivated than ever. I mean, the management so far is kind of, you know, when we've been frustrated, I'm sure you guys remember, I was extremely mad when we let Nedeljkovic walk, and all he wanted was like a 2-year, $6 million deal, and we wouldn't do it, and it proved to be right. You know, Nedeljkovic isn't even a starter for Detroit. He's a backup. He's honestly been mediocre at best the last 2 years. So, I mean, management has proved everyone wrong so far, but I'd like to see the aggression that some of these other teams show and try and push that needle to create a championship caliber team.
Yeah, that's a good point. That makes sense. Last thing I wanted to kind of bring up was, I'm assuming you heard Brenda Moore's comments after the Canes got swept and him basically saying, like, we didn't get swept. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. It's a frustrated coach. Brenda Moore is he's an interesting guy. You know, I don't really make a whole lot of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think he's probably just frustrated, and it's probably something where, like, the next day he was like, oh, crap, why did I say that? That was kind of stupid to say. But, I mean, I like Brendan Moore. He's the face of the franchise. You know, obviously won a Stanley Cup as a player. He's done really well as a coach, I think. So it's probably just something where every once in a while someone says something kind of stupid they wish they could take back. That's probably all it was, really.
Well, and part of it, too, is, you know, and I think what he's trying to say, and I think it's the same thing I like to kind of said, is yes, we got swept. Everyone's going to look back and say the Canes got swept. But at the end of the day, I think what he's saying is the Canes didn't lose those four games.
Yeah.
The Panthers won them. I mean, it's not like the Canes didn't do enough to win. I mean, they literally outshot the Panthers in every single game. I think they outhit the Panthers in a significant portion of the games. For a vast majority of the series, I'd say the Canes outplayed the Panthers, and the Panthers got lucky. Their goalie stood on his head, did everything that he could do, plus his brother, essentially. And they scored just enough goals to win. You know? It's not, I don't think there's a whole lot to be said about those comments. It was a frustrated coach. What he said, I think, was interpreted not necessarily how he meant it. Mm-hmm. I think what he is, the Canes didn't get swept, and that they didn't lose all four games. I mean, they did enough to win all four games. They just didn't. So.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's like the Canes, I think they played very well in that series. You just got to kind of tip your cap to the Panthers. And like you said, we caught some unlucky breaks also. But yeah, I don't know. That's all I really had to say on that. Really, this was all we had for this episode. It's just going to be a quick, short one. Let's just kind of jump in and talk a little college baseball, a little Hurricanes hockey since their season is officially done now. Obviously, summertime is kind of a slower time of year for us. We don't put out as many episodes, you know, when there's no college basketball, college football, anything like that. But we'll definitely try and check in again sometime soon. And everyone go follow us on social media if you haven't. Our Twitter and Instagram handles are both at TakeTriangle. If you go to our Instagram, you'll actually see posted just a few days ago Mitchell's Ice Bucket Challenge, where he basically got waterboarded and got water poured on his face for the college football picks punishment. So we finally got that taken care of. It's a pretty funny video if anyone wants to check it out on our Instagram. And we'll have sometime soon, hopefully we'll have Cody doing his donut run for the March Madness Challenge. But that's all I have for today. Hope everyone has a great rest of the week.
Sounds good.
Yep. Everybody have a good one.